This is RSBNB Update, episode 416, recorded Friday, June 7, 2013. Range level going up. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us today, this evening, whenever it might be, for this edition of RSBNB Update. This week, we are here to, of course, discuss the Order of Ascension, which sounds rather like it's going up in some direction, I guess. It's ascending somewhere, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah, that could be another thing, too. Play on words, but we'll get to that in just a couple seconds here. But first off, Zan from Informer is joining us this week, seeing as he is a high-level combat person, very involved with Slayer and bossing, so it makes sense that he is the perfect person to discuss this update with us.
Hello.
So welcome to your first time on the show, and
thank you.
Hope you enjoy yourself before get going. Is there anything you'd like to tell any of the people out there about yourself?
If you've been paying attention to RuneWire, you'd know that I'm kind of big into combat on RuneScape. That's mainly what I do, not into skilling. So this update is the kind of thing I like. And other than that, yeah.
All right. So, the Order of Ascension, this is a ranged Slayer dungeon in the Feldip Hills. According to the news post, a group of misguided Guthix followers are responsible for a spate of kidnappings. Little is known about them except that they must be stopped. Ocelus, a guardian of Guthix, waits at the ruined chapel northwest of Uglot. He's seeking players to venture into the underground Monastery of Ascension and take fight directly to the Order of Ascension themselves. So, I assume both you guys have gone down to this dungeon.
Correct.
Xantaz, I went through it, but I didn't do much of it.
Okay. First off, you need 81 Slayer for this. That is correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just start, okay. Yes.
Now, a question for both you guys. Do you need a Slayer task in order to kill the creatures down there? Is it blocked off like Kuradel's dungeon?
No, it's not. You can kill anything without a Slayer task, even the bosses.
There we go. That's all right.
But it's nice if you have a task, and what's kind of good is that you can co-op with it. That's the whole idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So where do we go from here? What happens when you go down there, Zan? Give us a bit of an overview of the dungeon itself.
Well, the dungeon has a nice theme. It's kind of like a rundown laboratory feel to it. There's multiple different monsters in there, and each one of them has a special thing that they do. There's one that teams up with other monsters of the same type. There's one that is very mobile and can teleport around. And there's ones that can heal other monsters. And there is one that is very defensive. And there's a very interesting strategy to kill those. And then each of these monsters, they have the chance to drop a key. And this key can give you access to the boss's rooms, which you get parts to the crossbows.
All right, so before we go down that path, let's talk about these tactics. Are these kind of tactics that have been seen before in a RuneScape NPC?
Well, I think especially for the defensive ones, the Skitariuses, they have a very interesting tactic that they're only effective to kill if you're on a duo Slayer task. Because if you look at them, they have this kind of these two shields attached to their arms, and if you shoot them from the front, you don't do much damage to them, but if you have another person behind them, shooting them from behind, it does really high damage to them.
Okay.
Hmm.
So
very interesting tactic.
So is there no way at all to kill one of the Skitariuses on a solo Slayer task?
Well, I tried killing a few of them. It's possible, but it takes like 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. So definitely not something you'd want to do if you're wanting to be efficient then.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like a very in-depth bit of AI programming there. What about the other three? Are they as involved, or are they just more run-of-the-mill type things?
There's one called a Gladius. It can move around. That's the one I like killing most because I find that it's kind of a good middle range, so the drops are a little higher than the lower ones, like the Rorarius. But the Gladius, they can be kind of annoying. They randomly teleport around the room when you're killing them, and they can stun you.
Yeah, I'm just reading on the official RS wiki here that they can charge and stun you if you attack them from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd say that's probably the most profitable one to kill in terms of amount of time and what you get from it?
I haven't done exact testing on it, but I would say, yeah.
All right. Did you have something to add there, Ricky?
No, I was thinking that with all this, trying to see how you really get around that. Because if you're stunning you, you have a heart, it's a pain in the butt because you can only use freedom so many times.
You got anticipation. It'll prevent the stun if you can kind of predict it coming.
Okay, so there is using the right abilities at certain times and whatnot that helps you out as well. Mm-hmm. So that's good. We're seeing the evolution of combat come into play with some of these NPCs, which is really good, I think.
It seems like a lot of these monsters that they've been adding recently, they really make you use the combat system rather than just sitting there spamming abilities, which is really good.
And I think that's good because for the longest time, that was the most boring thing about Slayer and whatnot to me. So
it was all the same thing.
Yeah, somehow I got level 90 doing that. I don't know how, but I did. So, all right. What about the other two? You said the Rorius and the Casparius. What about them? Are they worth mentioning at all?
Yes, actually. They both do some very interesting things. The Casparius, it can actually... There's not many of them in the dungeon, but they spawn like usually in the middle of one of the main rooms. And what they can do is they can actually make one of the other monsters invincible. And usually it's the one that you're attacking. And while they're doing that, they're also healing it. So you got to kill it or else you can't kill the one you're already attacking.
Okay.
So that one's very interesting. And they have much lower life points and defense than the other monsters. So they can be taken out quite easily.
Right. And, that makes sense.
Yeah. And the Rorarius, those ones are pretty simple. I think they're the easiest to kill, but if there's a whole group of them around and you attack one of them, all of them will start attacking you.
Oh, wow.
So AoE is the name of the game.
Yeah.
So with this, what kind of damage are we talking about being dealt with you? Is it relatively weak damage if you're geared properly, or does it prevent a challenge to a person like you?
They weren't too challenging for me. I was in Death Lotus, which is level 85 tier, so at lower levels it could be a bigger challenge, but even when I was taking damage, the amounts weren't that high. Maybe maximum 500.
So that's not too bad then.
Okay, so quick question. So all the monsters there are weak to range, correct? Like do you need special... use trade-off between a bow and a crossbow or double crossbow or throwing weapons?
They are all magic-based, and I believe they are all weak to arrows, which I find kind of odd.
Yeah, that's rather perplexing, isn't it, seeing as we don't really have many high-level arrows in the game. So.
Well, there's a Zarite bow. That's expensive, though.
And I assume you were using a crossbow or something like that?
Yeah, actually, I was using a royal crossbow with the royal bolts. Okay,
Ranged is ranged. It's minor difference I've found.
In terms
of what type.
So, any decent weapons? Do they drop any decent weapons that we can use?
Well, yeah, these ones, do these drop anything decent, or is that all at the higher level ones?
Mainly the bosses are where you want to kill to get the parts for the main reward, which is the crossbows. But these, at the start of the week, they had some really bad drops. Like, I was killing them, and I'd kill one of them, and I'd get 7 lava runes. It's like, wow.
What?
But, yeah. But they did a hot fix, I think, Wednesday, and they increased the drops on them. And I haven't been down there since, but I've heard some people saying they drop, like, noted herbs different amounts. And all the main monsters in the dungeon, they drop the keystones, which they are tradable. And I think right now on the Grand Exchange, they're listed around 50, 60K, but you can actually sell them for about 1 to 2 million each. Maybe a little less now.
What are they used for?
And you use those to gain access to the boss rooms.
All right, so you need the keystones from these to get access to the boss rooms.
Yes.
All right, so now that we have the keystones, let's talk about inside the boss rooms themselves. What have we got in here?
Well, there are six different bosses, and there are six different keystones. So each monster can drop one of the six keystones, and it corresponds to one of the boss rooms. And each boss, they're the same general idea, but they have a special effect that makes them different from the other bosses. And some of them are a little bit more difficult than others, in my opinion. But for the most part, they all seem like kind of somewhat like hard mode on Cerdome and God Wars.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a little different.
So difficult to solo, but really good if you can get a nice, decent group together?
Well, the max people you can have in the room is two at a time. So they're not as difficult as Cerdome. But they do have... Yeah.
They require teamwork, I would say.
I was doing them fine solo, but yeah, I've duped him a lot. So for the average person, it probably wouldn't be too easy.
Yeah, like if I was to go down there, I would definitely would probably want to go down there with another person because I don't have the appropriate gear and whatnot. Granted, all my combat levels are almost 99, but still, I just don't have the gear for it.
I actually think that the attacks they do, gear isn't really a problem because most of the damage you will take is based on your ability to avoid it because mostly area of effect attacks.
Okay. Well, I'm not going down there then because I do not like the fact that with RuneScape it comes down to these kind of area of effect attacks like that. You're at the mercy of clicking on a tile where you want to run, waiting for that signal to get sent to the server, waiting for the server to get back to move. And I don't know. I just don't find it fun dealing with waiting for server responses for that. Mm-hmm. But anyways, these require 95 Slayer and one of the keystones, as you mentioned. Now, you can co-op, and then both of you can go in, even if only one person has 95 Slayer. That's what Jagex mentioned in the news post, which is good, I think. What do you think?
It's also worth mentioning that you only need one key per Slayer group.
Oh, that's good, too. All right. Yeah. And
so
the keys...
per two people?
Yeah, one key per two people.
Mm-hmm.
So when you use one of the keys, it disappears, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I imagine those will go down in time the more these creatures get assigned for Slayer and whatnot and the more people go kill them. So you've fought some of the bosses in the room, I assume.
Yeah, I did each one of them once just to see what they do.
Okay. Which one is easiest, which one is hardest, and why?
I would have to say for the easiest, Legio Primus is the easiest. It's pretty much just basic. It throws lightning at you. It doesn't sound easy, but it makes a little spot on the floor that if it stays for 3 seconds and if you walk on it, it'll do some pretty hefty damage to you. And when they throw it, it will drop down right over you if you don't move. So you have to be very careful of that. But this one, it grows slightly stronger throughout the fight. So it doesn't really have many different difficult attacks to deal with. Just the damage increases a bit, but if you can stay avoiding the lightning, you should be fine.
All right.
The one I think is the most difficult is the Tertius. It's the third boss. You get it from the third key. And this one actually summons some of the creatures that you've seen in the dungeon, and they can actually heal the boss. And dealing with those while avoiding the lightning can be pretty tricky.
Yeah, I'd imagine that, given the mechanics we just talked about regarding those. Okay, so that's good to know.
I died twice in that boss testing it.
Oh, okay. that's good to know. When you die, I assume you have to... Where does your gravestone go?
It goes just outside the monastery.
Oh, okay. So you don't have to go run through all of them again. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, the rooms are instant, so it won't spawn outside the room.
All right. That makes sense. So let's get to the point that everybody is probably wondering about. The Ascension Crossbow and its offhand variant requires level 90 ranged to wield and requires 90 fletching to make. Have you got one of these yet?
Actually haven't. They're pretty difficult to get.
All right. So do you know how they're made then?
Yes. Each of the bosses drops one piece of the crossbow, and the chance that it drops it, I've heard from some people that it's about 1 in 60.
Ooh.
So it is fairly rare, and considering you use a key every time you go through there, you see what I'm saying?
Only once?
Yeah. That,
you only use a key once to fight a boss?
Mm-hmm. And each boss drops a different piece, so you have to get a piece from every boss. And the pieces for the crossbow, they're not tradable.
Of course. That's even better, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was expecting to be able to just camp at one of the bosses to for this week and hopefully get one, but that's not the case.
Well, that's good. You need to work for it, because I know in the past there have been cases where things like this have come out, and it's just been too easy to get, you know, and within a week or whatever, people completely forgot about it. So this seems like it should keep people going for quite some time now.
Cowfight King was the perfect example of that. The drop rates for the Drygors was way too high. I remember the first day, the price of them was under 100 million, and then people started realizing how good they are, and the price shot up.
Yes, that's actually what I was thinking of there. So, all right. So, just for reference right now, for anybody wondering, you can get the regular version of the crossbow for a grand total of 68 million on the exchange. If you can find one for that price, that's a market value. But and I imagine you're probably going for much higher than that.
I actually have the price checking thread open right now. I can see what they're going for right now.
Okay, so this would be live price, not exactly based on the market then.
Yeah, 20 minutes ago it was 343 million.
Holy cow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's about what Drygors were at this time when they came out.
Yeah.
But with making the crossbow, if getting the pieces is enough, I forgot to mention this, but you have to add all the pieces to a dragon crossbow.
Oh, okay. So you need a dragon crossbow as well.
And that shot the price of those way up this week.
I was wondering what was going on with those. Because the dragon crossbow was actually a featured item on the Grand Exchange page this week. So I noticed, these are going up. Why is that? But now we know why the dragon crossbows are going up.
Yeah, I think on Tuesday, people were asking 100 mil for them. Upwards of that. But I think now they're about down to 30.
Yeah, you know, at this point, I'm thinking if you want to make some quick money, you could probably go start putting some dragon crossbows together and selling those if you can orchestrate yourself quick enough.
I actually had some friends they just went to Tormented Demons and started killing those, trying to get the limbs.
Yep, there you go. All right, so this is a level 90 piece of equipment. Definitely something needed in game. I don't think there was any level 90 ranged gear before, was there?
No, I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, that's right. And it's single-handed, so you can dual wield, or you can use a shield at the same time, which is pretty good, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So should be interesting to see what we get for magic at this level next at some point.
Yeah, they actually said if in the game update FAQ, the magic ones are going to be coming soon. So that's good.
Oh, that's
to hear.
Good. Are they going to be doing that through the same dungeon or no?
Let me go and look.
Because if they said it through the FAQ, one would think that that would be the case. That's where you'd get the wands from, the wand and book.
I don't know. There was a separate section about just combat stuff related with the new bows in the FAQ.
Oh, okay. So it could be completely different then.
Yeah, they said it would. Well, they said, quote, "It's going to be awesome." How many times do you hear that?
Yeah, that's right. So you also got the fragment bolts and whatnot, which apparently are useless against most creatures except for down in that dungeon. But I guess you could use practically any bolt with this crossbow, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. The fragment bolts, actually, they have a damage boost against the monsters down there in addition to the added actual damage. It's like a 20% bonus, I think.
That's where you'd want to use them then. All right, that makes sense. That's good. I think we've covered pretty much everything down here. What about the lore side of this thing? How does this feel after the World Wakes quest?
Well, I think the whole thing with these were followers of Guthix, and they're kind of going insane after Guthix was killed, that it kind of adds something interesting to it. And if you actually go into the center of the dungeon, there's this huge, huge statue of Guthix that's laying down, and you have to cross over it to get to the other side of the dungeon. So that's something interesting. Very interesting. Yeah.
So maybe they knocked it down or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It looks kind of like they were somewhat operating on it or something. Because there's kind of like stuff around it. Looks like they could get access to it.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, like you say, they are confused about this whole thing, so it wouldn't be too out of sorts to see that kind of thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, this, for anybody out there wondering, this crossbow does degrade, similar to the way that Barrows and Drygore and all that other stuff in-game now does.
Bob and Lumbridge will be making some more money.
Yep. All right. Is there anything else that we need to talk about pertaining to this at all?
The level 90 bolts we got.
Yeah, that's the Ascension bolts.
Oh, did we already mention that?
Or no, we didn't. Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of the 100% drops from most of the monsters is an Ascension shard. It's pretty similar to the fragments, but you can turn these into level 90 bolts that only the new crossbows can use. That's good.
Oh, okay, and how do
level
they...
Level 90.
Oh, I see. Damage 864. Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
So those are useful anywhere.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sadly, I'm too poor, and my Slayer level is way too low for that.
I don't know. You think I should get 95 Slayer for this?
You'll never get it.
I don't think really the profit would be coming from the bosses unless you really put some effort into it, because, like you said, you have to get a piece from all six of the bosses in order to make something tradable that's worth a significant amount of money.
Well, remember, Shane has a natural knack for being super lucky. Who knows, he may get it within two runs.
No, it's not possible. You gotta get one from each.
So yeah, two runs for each boss.
Okay, 12 then.
I haven't gotten any of the parts yet, so...
Yeah, that's right, and considering I don't even have 90 ranged yet, oops, that is my lowest combat skill.
Well, if you get 90, it'll be the same as having 99. So, if you have the level, because if you have a level 90 weapon, they fixed that, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I see. I remember.
All right. Do we have any other things to go over with this? I don't have any more questions for Zant. Do you?
I think that's about it.
All right, well, I'll assume that is done for this update. Definitely a good update for ranged, and probably one that's been a long time coming. I can't remember the last time we saw something this large for ranged was. So,
yeah, we're going to get some wands that are elementally attuned. That would be totally awesome.
Yeah, well
that'd
it's
be
coming.
Nice.
Yeah. Like I said... Back when this whole evolution of combat thing came out, yes, it's good to make these things be more effective based on your levels and whatnot, but if these things aren't coming out in-game, what's the point? In my view, all these updates to bring these higher level pieces of equipment out should have came out with the Evolution of Combat update.
Personally, I think they should have just put the whole set of level 90 weapons out at the same time, magic, melee, and ranged, so it doesn't skew the combat triangle.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Or even, all those things with EOC would have been great. But, oh well. What can we do? It's also worth noting, actually, moving on beyond this, that Duradel, Lapalock, and Curadel can give out the assignments for the Order of Ascension monsters, if you want to do it that way. All right. So, in other news this week, raw fish can now be removed from a tackle box through a bank. The tackle box also has a new ability in that you can teleport an amount of raw fish per day directly to the bank. Finally, the tackle box now has the option to deposit raw fish from it straight into the bank and to empty raw fish into the inventory when viewing the bank interface. That's good.
I think something that changed about this was before people would just get the highest tackle box from fish flingers and store raw food in it. And then when they went to a boss, they would take a bunyip. And with that scroll of the bunyip, you could eat the raw fish. So it greatly increased the amount of food you could have. And that was making it a very big advantage.
Okay, so that's what this update is geared to fix then.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
A lot of people are not happy with this.
Well, it doesn't sound like it was working as designed before. So, in my view, if that's the case, you really can't be complaining about it. But, anyways, also a change to the wilderness. The area in which it's possible to teleport away from the wilderness has been changed to reflect how it was pre-evolution to combat. The level 20 area is now level 26 wilderness. And the level 30 area is now level 40. So, apparently that was changed as well. You can tell I don't go into the wilderness that much because I didn't even know about this. So basically, it means that the level to teleport out has been moved up to 26 from 20. And 30 to 40 for that other teleport.
I think the reason they did this, when Evolution of Combat came out, since there's a higher combat level, they increased the amount of levels that there are in the wilderness.
Right.
So each little, so level 20 is a lot farther up now than it used to be.
You know, that actually makes sense because there's 200 combat levels now. There was only 138 before. So there we go. Very good.
Finally.
All right. Does anybody have anything to highlight from the patch notes for the week?
Oh, nothing worth mentioning. At least I don't see any worth mentioning.
The bank under Lumbridge Castle now has a collect option.
Oh, that's good.
I use that bank a lot.
Yeah, you know, I always wonder why that one didn't have that. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Another thing they did this week, hard mode God Wars bosses now correctly use hard mode drop table when players are using loot share. Oops.
What?
Well, if you were using loot share, you were getting standard drops on hard mode in the God Wars dungeon.
Yay.
Also, Zaros Emissary now has a purple staff instead of a red one, which makes sense.
Whole bunch of clipping stuff, it looks like.
Yeah. Another one interesting pertaining to combat. The Berserk ability now increases the damage taken by players from NPCs by 50%, up from no increased damage. Players using Berserk now only receive an additional 50% damage from players, down from 100. So that's uniform now. And you know, it makes sense that you should take more damage from an NPC when you're doing this, because otherwise we're going back to the same sort of mechanics that we had before this came out, where you could just blindly boost yourself.
Yeah, that makes it actually somewhat risky to use.
Yeah, and you know, that's what it should be. You're generating, well, no, you're not generating extra threat. It's like you're removing a portion of your defense to do more damage, kind of. If you're taking more damage, so. I don't think there's anything else in here. So with that being said, let us move on to the next Player's Gallery submission that Jagex wants. Players Gallery, Galenor needs you. So you have until June 30th to submit some sort of I want you, I need you for your specific god faction if you want to do that. Results should probably be in a form of a poster. They go to the usual gallery at jagex.com. Rules, interesting ones. No real world political or religious references, please.
Even though the very first one is a picture of Uncle Sam.
I was just thinking about that. Someone's going to submit Uncle Sam.
It's got to be your own work. No screenshots. Minimum resolution of 1280 by 720, which is good. And JPEG, PNG, or GIF. So if you're at all interested in being artsy like this, go right ahead and throw a poster together. They got a very basic demonstration here, just some basic topography, and then I'm not even sure who this is. Is this the Ceridoman emissary?
That's Ceridoman. Actually Ceridoman, yeah.
Oh, don't you remember from the Tears of Gothics?
No, I don't. I guess I'm going to be banished to some obscure kingdom now. I don't even recognize Ceridoman. That's not good.
I think he was shown in the World Wakes, too.
Yeah, you're right. I remember that now. Oh, dear. I'm sorry, Ceridoman. I'm sorry.
Oh, please. You're a follower of Armadale. He's more powerful.
Shame. I'm a Ceridoman person.
You chose Ceridoman. Okay.
Yep.
I figured you would be more of a Zamorakian.
No. Oh, mainly, well, the reason I chose that is because when I started playing the game, blue was my favorite color.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, unlike most things, I didn't choose Gothics because Gothics was green color. So.
But that's like farming.
I know, but I didn't do it that way. That's one time I didn't do that, so. All right. And then we also got some Players Gallery. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say I was a Ceridoman follower till I realized the truth. Truth is, Ceridoman doesn't do jack. That's why I switched to the Desert Goddess. She actually heals you.
Mela!
I think with the God Emissaries, I was originally going to choose Gothics because the World Wakes almost changed me to Gothics, but Gothics wasn't an option because...
The Godless faction is the Gothics option.
I didn't like that idea, though. Because they don't want
any interference. I know, but still, that's the logical choice. So, yes, it is.
No. Logical choice is to grab some ambrosia, eat it, and then become all powerful and destroy the gods yourself.
Or become
yourself
a
supreme. What do you think the ambrosia is for?
Okay.
We're all deities now, remember?
Yeah. So Players Gallery 45, RuneScape Vistas. We got the results here from this. Rather interesting painting. At least I think it looks like a watercolor painting, but I'm not entirely sure what medium this is. But it looks pretty good, I think. Definitely something we haven't seen before. So that's nice.
Mm.
The White City is also a nice one, I think.
White City? Yeah, it's a nice one.
Then we got the Runespan.
I like the one with the Wizard's Tower in it the best.
White City?
The White City.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think it's a Wizard's Tower. But.
No, it's got the mountain. I think that's Falador.
It looks like the Wizard's Tower.
On the White Knight's Castle. Because if you think about it, the only city in RuneScape that has the white walls like that is Falador.
It is Falador. I can kind of see it now.
Yep. And then the Runespan. That's a nice looking one.
Yeah.
All right. So good work to those people. Moving on from that, another competition. This time, your new interface system design competition. and guess who entered this one?
Uncle Dana.
No, me.
I would never have guessed that.
Yeah, I'd been working on a layout that I think I'm going to use when this comes out. Definitely takes advantage of large screens. It's built primarily for a 1080p resolution or higher. And it goes back to the old fixed window type system. So I was actually putting this together. I did a video for it, and it did a 57-second long voice annotation of it. And I did one take of the video, and I didn't like how it came out. I didn't click in the right places at the right times. But when I went to go do the video again, I inadvertently resized my window somehow, and I lost all of the user interface HUDs on top of it. And I couldn't even get them back. I had to re-import my save. So I broke that somehow, and I wasn't sure how, and I wasn't able to duplicate it. So that was really strange. So that was the interesting story of the week for me here.
Luckily, you can lock the interface now.
Yeah, that is good with this. But mine actually needs to be unlocked, I think, because if you resize the window, you got to be able to move stuff around. So that might just be hinging on what they have for the game display itself. Anyways, if you want to enter this competition, you can do that yourself. Link is on the RuneScape website to the specifications, but in short, it's got to be either a video or an image. If it's a video under 1 minute long, email them the link to the video, not the actual video itself, to competitions@jagex.com, or send an image of it, and they say include a brief description. So, people should enter this and get used to the system, because this is something that, you know, we didn't have access to before with RS2, so might as well take advantage of this and find the most efficient way to play the game.
May enter mine in it.
Yeah, because winners will receive their the grand prize winner will receive their interface set as a default option. They'll also receive lifetime membership, 2,500 rune coins, and a massive shout out in the community roundup. And runner-up will receive 500 rune coins, the shout out, and 6 months of membership. So there is stuff that you can win if you do manage to make your way to the top.
Okay. All right. I don't know. So I would like to. I want to say I prefer, since I only have one screen, I actually like having a interface that's actually a bit smaller, because I like to have half the screen be watching a video and have the other half playing RS. I don't like playing full screen on RS.
See, that's the thing why I did this. I based it off of a 1080p full screen resolution, but what I did is I set it up so that on the 27-inch iMac, it only takes up a portion of the screen still. So if you want, you could have video and other stuff up on the same screen. So
my main
that was
problem
my logic
is,
behind it.
My main problem is that my screen isn't that big, so I have to kind of cram as much as I can.
Oh, okay.
I've got a 15.6-inch.
See, another thing I was debating on doing was with this running the interface on the TV screen and taking a picture of that as well. Showing a future way of playing RuneScape on the TV, you know?
I think there are actually some people who managed to map some controls of RuneScape to a PlayStation controller, and they could actually get it to work on the computer.
I mean, you could do that with probably some of the things that they're bringing in. I still say we're going to get a surprise that we're going to be able to control our characters using the keyboard. I think that's inevitable at this point.
I think that would be very rough with RuneScape, though, but I could see it happening.
Well, what the thing is, the reason I think that this is possible is because with RS3, you know, the concept of map tiles is gone. Yes, there are map squares where everything is overlaid.
Uh-huh.
But if you can go diagonal or straight across, it really doesn't matter. So why not just let a person move freely?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think we might get that as a surprise. But
that would be nice.
Yeah. Nonetheless, send that in. And moving on, focusing more on RS3, they're going to be holding a Q&A next week. So if you have questions regarding this, you can find the link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. Submit any RS3 questions you have on their forum thread. You have until 9 a.m. BST on Monday the 10th. So a couple days from now, if you're listening to this on the weekend, if you're listening to this next week, the deadline will have come and gone. But we'll definitely be interesting to see what we learn from this in the Q&A.
Alrighty then.
All right. Next up, behind the scenes for June. So we only have two updates listed this month.
And,
you know, people seem to always have a problem with that, which I don't understand why, because we're in a phase, I think, where we're gearing up towards the release of RS3. And if that's the case, that's what the development efforts is focused on. And we saw this before with the lead up to RSHD and everything like that. So for anybody out there wondering why we only have two updates listed for the month of June, that is why.
And there's a big, nice list of future stuff down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in just a minute, but the next update coming, I'm not sure if it'll be next week or the week after, but it's the Crystal Triskelion.
I like this one.
Yeah, you do? Really?
Mm.
It's effectively uses the same mechanics as the Crystal Key that you used to get the Dragonstones.
Right.
So basically, you'll be doing skilling or combat or something high level like that, and you'll come across one of these three key fragments, and then you'll combine them all together, and you'll get this new unlockable piece of treasure. And it's going to be pretty good, apparently. Dragonstone armor.
Dragonstone armor!
That sounds like an awful armor.
I know, but here's the thing. But, you know, guess who has 99 crafting?
Imagine how weird it would feel to wear an armor made out of a stone, like a gem. Mm.
But the thing is, you're not crafting this armor.
Yeah.
I know, just be a name. I know, but just think about it. I'm making can you imagine how many scammers would try to make Dragonstone armor with a Dragonstone? Probably would have been.
What, is that your idea?
Heck
to
no.
Say you're making Dragonstone armor?
I will be, because I need the range armor. Actually, no, I need maging hybrid armor, because Arnhem can only go so much. But, it just feels so nice, because, you know, Dragonstone armor, you'd be glittering in the sun, all purple. You know, think about it. Have an army of Dragonstone armor wearers and just walking down the desert, gleaming in a distance. You know, it's like the northern star in the desert and the sun, and you know, and it's great during combat because you get to blind the person who you're fighting. It's like Picard's bald head.
Could
that's
you
why
shave
he always,
your head?
No. See, what happens is that you get your if you shave your head, and you still have natural hair growing, it's actually darker than if you were just plain bald. And besides, you need to wax. You need to grab some turtle wax and a rag and start and really wax the head, and for that to really work. No, I mean just imagine Dano, bald, going out in sun, during and then he has like nice waxy glow on his head. Suddenly he's like someone's really angry. He's like, "What? Bling! Ah, my eyes!" Think about it for a second.
That could be a new combat ability.
Blinding head. Headbutt.
Dano's blinding head.
You guys don't even know if he's bald.
True.
Hey. Hey, he's Grandpa Dano. Pretty sure he's lost some of his hair. But just Andrew is like, how did they know?
All right, there's one more thing about this update. It wasn't mentioned here, but it was mentioned in the video. After this update comes out, this is going to be the only way to get the dragon hatchet and dragon pickaxe.
Uh-oh.
Wait, the only way? Like,
yeah, they're being removed from the drop tables for some reason. I mean, it wasn't in here, but it was in the video, and I had to listen to it a couple of times to realize that this was being removed, which, I don't know, does that make sense to you guys?
I think that completely kills Chaos Dwogers, because that's the only really good thing they drop.
Yeah,
Dagonoth Kings.
But they drop their rings, so they'll probably still be fine.
I don't know, for me, yeah, I was in the Chaos Ogre place for weeks on end trying to get a hatch, and I finally got one. They get jerks who like get one within like five kills, like, I hate you.
You're going to hate me but I got one the first day after I did that quest.
I know. You people do.
All right, listen up, I'm going to play the sound.
For which you'll be looking at 80 or 90 in the respective skills. Many of the treasures unlocked with the Triskelion are existing items. This is now the only place where you could get either a dragon hatchet or a dragon pickaxe. On top of that, we've added a brand new suit.
Oh, let's see.
That's straight from the BTS video.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice that before.
Oh, now you do.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so a couple other
concerning.
All right, well, let's a couple other things to touch a note on. RuneScape 3 will be coming out sometime, maybe July or early August, I believe. Divination skill, old school training with new school rewards. Skill 2, no, I won't tell you what this is yet. So there'll be two skills coming out. The Dwarf finale quest, yes, I get to kill that bastard.
I wanted the gnome one.
Yeah,
no,
me too.
So did Shane.
I like the puzzles.
They want me over with a finish off the red axe. Like, yes! So down for that, after they drugged me.
They said it has a lot of combat, so good. That's good.
Barrow Brothers Deluxe. I guess more drops, more Barrow Brothers stuff. Epic World Events. Now, this is one I'm kind of interested in, because I think but problem with this one is it's kind of like those demon spawn things. You need people actually to go do them en masse, and that's not something that can really happen in RS. You know, which is kind of a shame.
Well, you know, I think the Epic World Events is particularly pertaining to the gods and, you know, our choices of what's going to be happening in-game. I think that's what that's referring to.
Player-owned ports expansion. Yes!
You know, that screams to me Tetsu gloves and boots.
I still need to get, 90 thieving or 91 thieving? 90, here we go. Yeah, I still need to get 90 thieving, and I've been pushing that off.
I still need the fishing, and I don't remember the other one.
Let's see, quests. We'll bring home the bacon, so I guess we'll be killing some pigs. A great tool belt with new tools. Yes! All right. Maybe finally get to use some dragon hatchets in it or something. Let's see. 6H quest 1, 2, 3, 4. Those will be interesting. Loyalty store update. Grouping system. Great way to access our mini games without having to wait. All right. Halloween's coming up at the end of the year. Pickpocketing summoners. That's exactly what it says. Great way to get
charms.
Mm-hmm. Bosses, more epic battles, including some powerful loot for mages.
Yes. There we go.
More powerful loot for mages, yes. So maybe find some elemental wands or something. Elite combat mobs. Combat training for toughest high level players. New trees, new foliage that are sure to make the cuts. Wink wink. Ha ha. And construction rework, building places you'll never expect, and new bank interface. Better access to your stuff than ever.
Finally. All
right. We had a post like this in 2004 of things that were coming in. 8 years after the fact, the vast majority of them did, and two things on the list did not come. So I'm going to pick, there's going to be two things on this list that are not going to actually appear. And those two things that are not going to appear are going to be the construction rework and the loyalty store update.
I think, let's see, if I had to pick, we both know, Shane, that we're not going to finish up the Biohazard quest anytime soon, so that's out of the picture.
That's not even on the list.
That's not coming anytime soon.
Sadly.
Go ahead.
I've heard 2014 for that.
Yeah, that was
a Q&A.
I remember Shane and I were talking about that about a year ago, but we're not holding my breath.
We always talk about that.
Yes. And
I wanted to.
I'll talk more about that because we have a question on it later on. But let's see. And the grouping system, I think the grouping system will come out, but I think it'll suck.
The bank interface.
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, the bank interface is much needed, especially with the changes on RS3. So,
and the new interface system alpha came out. One of the first things it did was I went to the bank to see if the bank interface was updated. And I saw that brown window, and I just facepalmed.
Yeah, very painful. Very painful. That interface has got minor updates since RS2 came out. So,
yeah.
All right. So that was a bit of a prolonged RS session this week, and I knew it would be long, so I'm sorry about that. But that's just what we had to discuss. Lots of interesting things. All right. Moving on to the questions. We got two audio questions this week. The first one is from Maramska. 101.1.
Yeah, like, wait, that's not right.
Hello there, Shane and Trekkie. This is 101.1 here with some questions. First of all, since the World Wakes quest, which seems like it was forever ago, and the passing of Gethix, I feel like we've all really been waiting patiently for the next quest to follow in the Sixth Age. And not counting the dwarf quest from the content poll, what do you guys expect from the next quest in the sequence of high-level quests? Additionally, do you think Jagex will ever really bring one god to rule more so than other gods? Or, for the sake of maintaining the story, will the gods remain in an eternal stalemate? On a more whimsical note, if you could only eat one dessert for the rest of your life, which would you choose and why? As always, thanks for the great show and for answering my questions. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
All right. So next quest in the Sixth Age series. What do you guys think will happen next?
Well, I know one thing that will not happen will be the next Biohazard quest anytime soon.
Yes, we've already established that. Okay, let's
remember.
I think it'll have something to do with more of the gods returning to RuneScape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely, because we already saw Ceridobin return and emissaries. Why would there be emissaries for that? Unless they're not planning some sort of return, you know? Unless they're actually trying to mislead us with that, which is highly unlikely. So yes, more gods returning, definitely. Do you think we could see a return of the Dragonkin and the Stone of Jazz, perhaps? Like, we hid the stone, but the Dragonkin will probably come back for some reason.
What I see happening is that with Divination coming out soon, you know, with quotes around soon, is that I think what's going to happen is that you'll actually see yourself developing powers, because you are, if you did the quest already. So you're kind of exploring, you know, what abilities you really can do.
Yeah.
And you can start unlocking it, and as you move along, we get more skills and move along like that.
That's what the name Divination leads from for a skill. So that makes sense with that regard. So Another God Wars, maybe? Yes? No? Or are we beyond that, you think?
Nah, I don't think there'll be another God Wars.
I could see it happening, but at the same time, I'm not sure.
I don't see them fighting. I think what will happen is that depending on... there may be more mini games, kind of like Castle Wars, where you fight with Ceridoman or Zemarek. And what may happen is that we get some mini games out, and you kind of choose a side. Whoever, we could do like a massive free for all.
Mm-hmm. You know, with the different groups. And you know, that's probably what the world events are leading to as well. Having some sort of
allegiance,
God influence on what you do in game. So.
It makes me kind of wonder what the current God Wars dungeon we have now is going to be like, because I thought the story behind that was that the people down there were kind of frozen and they have recently thawed and are unaware of anything that's happening.
That's right. So that kind of doesn't make sense then with the Sixth Age. So maybe there'd be something in one of these quests coming up pertaining to that.
But I highly doubt they'd do something that would make it so you can't go down there and fight them. You see what I'm saying?
No, you wouldn't do that, because that's become a rather integral part of RuneScape, Dragon Boots and God Swords, so definitely not that.
Let's see. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
we expect only one god? Should we have one god to reign victorious?
No, that's not going to happen, because they brought the emissaries out, so they're going to somehow give people the choice about which one is prevalent and what not. Because that's what they said all the way back from November last year, is what they're going to be doing, is people's decisions are going to have a role in this. So as to whether or not it will be God that influences that, I don't think so. Maybe with this, we'll see some of the gods have some of an influence, but then ultimately come back to the player for the decision. I don't think they would arbitrarily force that much on the game unless... the story demands it, like some of the more demanding gods, like Zaros or Sliske, for example.
Okay.
All right, anything else on gods and quests before we move on to the sweeter question?
Ha 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 ha. Lame.
I'm sorry. All right, I'll take that as a no then. Favorite dessert, if you could have one?
Pie.
What kind?
I'm just going to say pie. He didn't
There's
specific...
lots of kind of...
No, hey, he said dessert. He didn't specify exactly one. I'm making it general. Pie.
Like a
there.
Meat pie?
I'm just saying pie.
All right. I honestly don't really... have a preference on this. I mean, it's hard to say. Zant, you go first.
I would have to say chocolate cheesecake. I love me some chocolate cheesecake.
Mm-hmm. All right. And if you could only have that one, that's what you would pick. See, that's the thing. It's so hard to pick because there's so many choices that are good. So, it's really hard. I don't know. I don't know. I'll take a pass on this question. It's not often that I do that.
Actually, it is quite often. Okay.
No, it's not.
Thank you, 101 Duck 1. Let's move on to the next one, shall we?
From Muramska.
Hello, Shane, Temple Tricky. Oh, and Zed Falsi. How you doing? Muramska here. I was wondering, what is your favorite Zelda title, Zant? Mine is Link to the Past and Wind Waker. I don't know, I'm more partial to the Young Link. Also, my RS question this week. How do you really train summoning? Even though I'm at high 70s, I still don't get a good idea how do you train it effectively. Also, Shane, lesser extent to the... other hosts. Our two major political parties are proposing our country to be a republic. Do you think we should cut our ties with England and overthrow those royals or become like our brothers in America? Yeah. Anyways, talk to you next time. Woromska out.
Interesting little trick Zelda. He did there with the microphone. But yes, Zelda. I've not played Zelda games either, so Zant, this one's entirely on you.
You should play one. That's kind of hard to decide my favorite. I usually say Wind Waker, but ever since Skyward Sword came out, I think that one might have taken my first place. It's a really good game.
I believe it is. I just haven't never got into it. As for, let's see, Zelda. Oh, and I actually like the way he was humming the Zelda tune in the background. He thought I didn't catch that, but I did. Remember, Shane, we guys, good ears. with this, I don't know. I just never got into Zelda. Zelda was just wasn't my genre. I'm sure I'll have a great time. I just never really wanted to do it.
Actually making an HD remake of Wind Waker for the Wii U. I'm really looking forward to that.
When did that one initially come out?
Early 2000s, like 2002.
Oh, okay. So that would definitely be time for that then.
It was on GameCube.
Nice.
GameCube was a good system. Remember the back in the days when you can have a like throw your GameCube out the window and you can still play it even though it was scratched up to hell?
No, I never did that. You did?
No. But I was reading a Nintendo Power article where someone was on a road trip and they forgot to lock their trunk or close the trunk properly. So when they went up a hill and they hit a bump, the GameCube went flying. And that was from Nintendo
Power. Oh,
that's
funny.
And they said that it was still working. I was like,
that's interesting.
All right. Zant, you have anything else to talk about regarding Zelda?
Best game series ever.
All right. So, how do you train summoning?
You grab as much rings and little tidbits to boost your experience per item.
Yeah, like that's a good idea.
All of your prismatic pendants.
Yes, that too.
You know what? You know, you cannot have duplicate prismatic pendants now for certain skills.
You can destroy it and then make another one.
Oh, okay. Right. I didn't do that. I was thinking of doing something like that for prayer. But that totally forgot. I totally forgot about that. I will keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. But
and you also recharge gems, too.
Yeah, that too. Summoning. The brief rundown is that you have your four types of charms. Blue give the most XP, followed by crimson, followed by gold, then green at the bottom. Now, most of the time what I do is I just segment the gold and green charms out for nothing. I don't use those to gain XP. I use gold and green charms just for whatever creatures I might want them for. Like, for example, the green charms are used for unicorns now for me. Gold charms, really, I don't have much use for.
You turn them into parkerpodes.
Or that. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that. I guess you could do that.
I think when I was going for 96, I used about 4,000 gold charms just to get, like, 50,000 experience to get the level.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to go charm collecting again.
Yeah, gold is really not worth it then. But if you have them and you don't want to go charm collecting, then sure. But I always go for the crimson charm creature that is closest to my level, that has the easiest material to get, the secondary material. And then anything else on top of that, like blue charms or whatever, I just use as extra XP. So that's in general the way you want to go. Attaching XP, and sometimes it's good to look a few levels ahead of you to see, is there a better crimson charm creature coming up that I can do? If so, maybe I should save my blue charms for that, and then or rather save my crimson charms for that and use my blue charms and gold charms now to get to that level. So that's what I do in summoning training. So that's typically the way I go about it. But as for charm collecting, rock lobsters are good for the crimson charms. Water fans are also good for crimson charms. With the charm collecting imp now, I'd imagine that makes rock lobsters a lot easier, seeing as you don't need to run around and pick them all up, so that's good.
Yes, any I like other, that little thing.
Any creatures I've missed?
Actually, Dagonoths now, if you go to just the first room of Waterbirth Island, you can pile them up pretty easily and do some barraging on them.
Oh, okay. What color charms is that for?
I don't exactly know. I think greens and crimsons.
Okay.
And then if you can do it, Glacors drop a ton of blues. I've got another tip for summoning, actually running the charms. Right. If you have the summoning level, I can't remember what level it is. I think it's mid-60s, the Spirit Kayat Familiar. It has a teleport to the Piscatoris Hunter area and literally 10 steps away from a summoning obelisk. And you can use...
That is an excellent way of doing it.
There's another way of doing it, if you have the cash, is to sell it to the guy in Taverly to the store as a noted and buy it back as unnoted. What was the other thing...
A very good.
Oh yeah.
Familiar. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
It was that that little cute D&D for summoning familiarization, familiarism, where if you do that little mini game, you have a chance of getting double charms as you're fighting monsters.
Triple.
Yeah. Triple. Yeah. All right. So yeah, that's a good thing.
With the selling the supplies entirely, that works very well with unicorn stallions, because you make a decent profit from making the scrolls off those, and you can just sell the scrolls because they stack.
Yeah, and huge amounts of healing too.
Yeah, and you don't have to do any banking.
Yep. But yeah, summoning is one of those money sink skills. It's a lot like Herblar. Downside of it, of course, is that you need to do combat to do that, unless you just want to park yourself at the charm sprite hunting, which is more effective than it was before, but still not nearly as good as combat for doing that, as we mentioned back in April, I think it was. So hopefully that is effective enough for some summoning information there for you, Muromska. So moving on from that, do you think Australia should cut their ties with England?
Why?
I don't know. This seems to be something that's really come up in Australia more than anywhere else. It's not really come up here in Canada at all. I'm not sure about there in New Zealand. But yeah, definitely probably not, in my opinion. Because if you think about it... being part of the, or what used to be the British Commonwealth countries, that used to say something. It really doesn't mean that much anymore, but personally, I think it's better to just respect the tradition that a country has over this and go that way. Because really, what are you getting out of it? I mean, it's not, in my view, really worth the amount of time and pressure you'd need to put into it to have something effective. So I honestly don't see the point in doing such a thing.
Mm.
And, you know, Zant, I don't know if you have an opinion on that because you're from the US, but...
I'm no politics person.
Okay. So...
Yeah, I don't really...
Yeah, yeah, so I just have to say no to that. So hopefully that is good enough for you there, Muromska. All right, let us move on to the next one. Why don't you guys take this next question, read it.
Dear hosts, I am currently very close to my goal of 90 prayer to start player in ports, and I will be getting 90 Slayer before too long to complement it. Do you have any recommendations for what 90 skills I should get after that? Thanks and keep up the good work, Forged.
Thieving. I say thieving.
I was going to say that. Yeah, thieving.
I'm going to look up his skills right now.
Drew.
If you look at his topic, I think he has a signature on the forums.
Yeah, so I think his signature is different than the actual account he's using now.
Oh, okay.
Because he has several 90 skills in that one. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's kind of confusing then.
Yeah, that I caught that when I was reading the question earlier this week. But
okay.
You're close in Slayer, so if you do that, you could also get some of your combats up as well. Yep, they're close to 90 as well.
Because remember, the port requirements at level 90 are one of the following: in Fishing, Slayer, Runecrafting, Herblore, Prayer, or Thieving. So Thieving, Herblore, Runecrafting, Slayer, and Fishing are all good to get to 90 to do that. Because if I'm not much of a ports person, but when you do ports, having level 90 in each one of these unlocks something else you could do, right?
It unlocks the story mode.
It makes it easier to get trade goods.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, there we go. So there is a bit of a reason for
and
that, I guess.
There is actually another reason, is because you'll unlock missions that actually give you bonus experience in those skills. I got 93 prayer by doing ports, Shane.
Oh, wow. What did you start at?
92. The whole thing was just that every time I saw a prayer mission, I took it.
Before I puttered out in the skill of the month last month, I would I had my port set up so I would get the assassin in my port every day. So I would get a Slayer experience voyage, 25,000 experience every day.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
How do you do that? By making those statue thing, or something different?
You know, the totems you can set around the port. I put those on the parrot, which can give you which increase your chance of experience voyages. And then I set all of my icons to the assassin. But Slayer, I think honestly that is one of the most useful ones to have in ports, because if you have 90 cooking, it gives you a ton of spice, which you can get the rocktail soups with.
Mm-hmm.
And those are really nice to have, especially for the new ranged dungeon.
Right.
I need to go rocktail fishing more. I just haven't felt like it.
Hey, I need some. Can you get some for me?
I used up all of those already doing other stuff. I'm short on rocktails, period.
Ah, okay.
I have a huge pile of raw rocktails I've gotten from, I think, like daily challenges sitting in my bank.
You could always go get 90 farming. Farming is a good skill to have at high level now, especially with all the things like the Snape grass and whatnot that have come out. So
the dangerous Venus flytrap, bite your leg off plants.
Yeah, get some thieving XP that way, or brew your own wines for god wine. So
or gamble.
Yeah, or that. So high level farming is always nice.
Oh, that, right. Gamble. Forgot about that little thing.
All right. Thank you, Forged, for that one. Next one.
Okay, I guess I'll read it. All right, this is from Duke Juker. Dear Shane, Tricky, and Zant, I got members for the summer. I was wondering what I should work on. I have 99 fire making and cooking, and want to pick on a couple more easy 99s if I can. Right now, I'm looking at fletching and woodcutting. What's the best and cheapest method of training both? What, among other things, what can I do in member by skill and quest? Well, if you grab the, what should we call it? If you grab the kingdom, you get tons of maples every month.
Yeah, fletch that's those, true. Free, sell them.
Free maples, although they really crash.
Or even better. Oh, right. He has 99 fire making. So, yeah, you could do it that way. That's a good thing to do. You know, fletching used to be a good way of doing fletching. Would be to cut your own wood, fletch it in high elk, draining all three skills at the same time. I really wouldn't advise that nowadays. What I would suggest is going back to the old standard type of fletching training, where you do something like yew longbows. And then you will fletch the yew longbows into longbows, or I guess they'd be called shield bows now. And then after that, attach the strings and then high alchemize them. In doing so, you get your money back, and you also get magic XP. So that would be good to consider. So I'm just running a little check here. U log is 568. Yeah, so, and bowstring is 133, so 701. And assuming you already have the nature runes, and the nature rune is 113 GP each. So going with that and a high elk price of 768, you got very cheap training there, because you managed to train all three skills in one shot. If you did want to cut U logs like that and just be self-sufficient. But of course that takes time, and like you say, you just doing this for the summer, so I'm not sure if you'd want to do that. But it is definitely a nice way to go. That's how I got 85 fletching way, way back in the day, considering now that it's actually not as much of a loss as it once was to high elk the bows. So that is one option. Another option for 99 that's really easy to pick up and is going to definitely be useful in the future, and definitely useful with regards to getting farming seeds if you want to do it that way, is thieving. If you do, what was that monkey quest called?
Monkey Madness? Or the chocolate bar?
Do No Evil.
Do No Evil. There we go. Where you get access to that quest, and then you get access to the monkey guards. That's very fast thieving XP. And
forgot about that one.
It's awfully tedious, though.
You also do some more quests in the process.
Pyramid Plunder is always good.
Yeah, Pyramid Plunder if you want to do thieving. But
that's what I've always
done. They're both
done.
Fast ways of trading thieving, so thieving is on the list as well. But of course, farming. You can also go farming.
I was waiting for that one.
He said that three times already. But another one you can do is do my method of doing 99 crafting. Grab a ton of gold bars, make them into bracelets, and flog them on the exchange.
I don't know if Duke Juker is as cheap as you are.
Hey, I made money off of it. How is that cheap? I actually made money. It paid for my full Armadale range set, man.
But it's painful. Very painful.
No, it's not. Pop in a dirty movie. Only $9.95.
I guess.
Just make sure you grab a duster, because those old VHS tapes are really dusty and dirty. Yeah, pop in a Ninja Turtles movie or Voltron or something. Reminisce of the good old days.
100% 1990s.
That's what I said. Good old days.
But anyways, Zant, what would you say for a good thing to do over the summer?
Before I lose this thought, when Shane mentioned shield bows, it just occurred to me that somehow adding a string to a little stick creates a shield. But, yeah, I would say fletching. Just because if you get 90, you got those new bolts to make, and I'm pretty sure you could make some profit off those.
Yeah, and if you did get 81 Slayer, you can just go kill those and then make the bolts, right?
Let's see what a Slayer. Yeah, he doesn't have 81 yet.
Yeah, so that would be another project to do. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much you could do with having a fresh account like that. And in some ways, that's what I miss about RS, having so many high skills. Everything is so far away. And for what is left that is not 99, it feels like there's no point in getting it, just because the amount of time and cost you have to put into it doesn't really feel beneficial. So,
yeah.
But other things members can do, obviously, aside from the obvious of having easier access to resources and whatnot, I know something Zant does all the time, is access to a huge, huge selection of bosses and PVM fights. So it's another thing you can do once you level yourself up.
Based off his stats I'm looking at, he could probably do some of the God Wars bosses pretty easily with some friends.
There you go. And especially with the new instanced rooms, there's no reason not to.
I was doing God Wars with friends with his stats when I first started.
So, And with EOC, it's never a better time to do that and experiment with it. Not a dull moment ever.
Something else. People don't usually agree with this a lot, but dungeoneering, if you get a good group together of friends and like get on Skype with each other and do some dungeons, it can be really fun.
I'm sorry. I'm not a dungeoneering fan.
You gotta get into it to really.
I got 85. It. That's good.
Well,
I've been telling myself I'm gonna finish my goal of 120 soon, but I keep putting it off and putting it off.
Well, you know, last week we did have a 120 dungeoneering to promote in the achievements of the week, and it's not that often I get to do that, so I was happy about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm about halfway.
Oh well, get going. One day we'll mention you.
Yeah, 113 right now.
Oh, okay.
We didn't mention him when he was 99, didn't we?
I think we did.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the high getting up into like 110 plus is the amount of experience between each level is so much. Like, it gets to the point from my last level, I had to get, I think, about 5 million experience to get to the next level. And from 119 to 120, it's almost 10 million.
Yeah, so it's a pretty big task, and it's probably something you don't want to tackle in one summer entirely.
Yeah, something I'd just do over time, leisurely.
Yep. All right, so thank you, Duke Juker, for that question. Last one is from Veteran. Bando's prices is rising, so when it's at its peak, I wish to sell it. However, would Void be a good replacement for Bando's for both bossing and Slayer? Hope you can help. Veteran.
I like that name.
All right, so Zant, what do you think?
Bando's price of it usually fluctuates a lot, so I don't... There's usually no huge trend in it unless there's an update that happens that affects it. But I'm not one that usually likes hearing people saying, like, the price of this is dropping, I'm going to sell it, because you could be using it to make more money.
Yeah, that's right. And if something is dropping really that much, why not keep it? Because it's going down and you have this piece of armor. I mean... other people are going to be wanting it to have at the same time. And as far as I know, we're talking about two different types of armor here. Bando's is a power piece of armor, whereas Void is a hybrid piece of armor. Those two are entirely different, and they perform different tasks. So, I mean, it depends on what you want to do. Bando's for bossing and Slayer, I'd say keep the Bando's, especially for Slayer. I'm not sure how it performs with bossing, but definitely I'd keep Bando's around for Slayer if you could.
Even though Void does have that, I think it still has the damage boost since they made it hybrid. It's
right.
The amount of defense it has is very low. You will be taking significant damage from a lot of bosses.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. Void has no weaknesses per se, but it is very weak in terms of its defensive values. So at that point, you're asked, do you want it to really use the Void? So, you know, I would say keep the Bando's for what you want to do.
Bando's anything has always been one? A really popular armor.
Yep, ever since it came out.
It still is, too.
All right, so that's it for questions, everyone, this week. So thanks for submitting them. If you would like to send an audio question like 101 Duck and Maramska did, you can send them to questions@rsbmb.com, or you can phone them into the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. All right.
All righty.
So, moving on to the tech news. Xbox One, no internet. You'll have a big problem.
Ugh. No, figure that out last week or something.
Yeah, so are you guys up to speed on what's been happening with Xbox One here?
Yes, lots of years be a king. Well, actually, I'll take that back. Big Brother, big brother is worse than what Obama has been doing.
What?
Yes, Big Brother's always watching with that camera of theirs.
Oh, I see where you're going with that. All right. But essentially, what was confirmed this week with Xbox One is it will have to connect to the internet every 24 hours in order to play games. So the idea is that if you don't have an internet connection, well, you can't play games on an Xbox One. An Xbox One is practically useless to you. So now, ordinarily, I don't think this would be a problem because I think the most people out there who will be buying one of these things are going to be buying it for its multiplayer gaming in that they will have an internet connection. You guys think I'm right in that?
My Xbox, I play a lot of single player games, so yeah.
I know, but you have an internet connection. And what did you primarily buy it for? Was it for single player games or multiplayer games?
Kind of a mix of both. But what I'm really wondering is this internet thing, is that going to require you to have live or like being paying for it to have it working?
You know, that hasn't come out yet, but I would be willing to say yes, because everything is just going to be, like, they want this thing to be so immersive that it needs to be online once every 24 hours to connect. So
I don't know
yet, but I'd be willing to say yes, that is probably true, which, like you said, is a stumbling block for some people, because who really wants to pay the $60 a year if you're just playing single-player games? That doesn't make sense now, does it?
And as I remember, you pay $60 every year, and you still get a lot of advertisements.
Yeah,
I didn't realize
that's true.
On the dashboard, there's advertisements right there.
Now, the main issue comes up is, what if your internet connection goes out? What if your internet is out for a couple days due to a down line? You can't use your system. You're entirely focused on being able to use this system if the internet is up. So I think that's more so the issue than what Microsoft is trying to accomplish here. So, I mean, it just doesn't really make sense. I get what they're doing, but it doesn't make sense.
They're all trying to do DRM to try and curb the piracy thing, but quite honestly, you're making it worse. Because what I see, the second it comes out, someone's going to crack the Xbox and make it so you don't need to have a DRM connect to the internet or whatever.
It's going to get cracked. I'm not sure, because they already said you're going to be able to play used games on it, so I'm not sure that that's the entire issue here.
I'm struggling to see what this problem for me. I play a lot of used games. You get them, they're cheaper.
Yeah, but you are going to be able to play them in some way. So that's good at least. But apparently only 65% of people in the United States have a broadband connection. And for anybody who's played Xbox before, you will know that fast internet is definitely a requirement for the amount of data that it sends with the game and the voice communication going back and forth. And there's also the issue, what if Xbox Live goes down with this? How are you going to
do this? You finish up.
Because it points back to when the PlayStation Network, PSN, had the same issues with the hacker in their system. This thing was down for a month. So what if something would happen like that with Microsoft and Xbox One? Would you not be able to use your Xbox for an entire month? That would be pretty bad. So,
and you also, you know, what was the other thing? Since you're on this thing, remember a couple years ago when Ubisoft tried to release some of the games like Ghost Recon and Assassin's Creed 2? How they say you have to have online DRM and everything else in order to play these games, just to help curb piracy and everything else. The day it came out, the pirating community cracked the game and said you can play it right off the spot. Those that bought the game legitly were screwed because all their servers crashed. And they couldn't play the game, just a single player game that they bought for it. And it was like, well, this is what happens when you have DRM. DRM doesn't help anyone. It makes things worse. Yeah, it makes people not want to buy it.
And with so many people connecting to it, imagine on events like Christmas and whatnot, when people get lots of Xboxes, what happens? We've seen Xbox Live go down with issues from that before, so I'm not saying these issues will happen with this, but it's just something to be mindful about.
And you know, the other thing is also with this little DRM always on thing is you're not hurting the people who buy it. You're not hurting the people who decide who jailbreak it and crack it and do a whole bunch of crazy things with it. You're hurting people who actually want to be legit. And what's kind of bad is that you'll have a ton of people who will want to play that, you know, Halo 5 or whatever it is will be at the time, and they may end up buying the game. But you know, is it worth buying that one, $300 for that system to play one game and know that when it's once it's released, you're just gonna be stuck with it.
Yeah,
that's kind of the reason why I stopped playing console games after the GameCube, because after when the Wii and the others were starting to come out in the market, I looked at my gaming collection. I had three games. I paid $150 for three games. I was like, to play three games. I was like, all right, I'm done.
I can't imagine how much a game for Xbox One is going to cost.
Well, they're probably going to start out costing around $80 or so.
That's
like
crazy.
Like they always do when the first consoles come out.
That is crazy. So.
Yep, perfect time for the Steam Box, actually, and PC gaming. So, something I've been saying that's been needed for years.
And the Wii U and the PS4.
Yep. Yeah. I'm undecided.
I'm undecided whether I'm going to get a PS4 or an Xbox One.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't get either of them.
I've got to have at least one of them.
No, I'd just stick with PC gaming and get all your friends to get those or get a Steam Box. That is probably the best way to go at this stage.
I've always been a console person.
Yeah, see, not us here. We
Shane, leave him alone.
I know, but I mean, you can do a lot more with the computer games. So, I mean, it's definitely something to look into at this stage, and maybe it'll be time for an Informer article on how effective a gaming computer can be before these consoles come out. That's a good idea. I'm going to write that one down.
Find me Final Fantasy 13 and a Zelda game on PC. And I'll switch.
No, you probably can't do that.
Yeah, that's my main reason.
Yeah, well, what? Then I'd say just get the Wii U then.
Yeah. What was the reason?
Final Fantasy and Zelda.
I'm definitely getting a Wii U regardless.
Yeah, whatever works for you.
Gotta have my Nintendo.
Man, the Wii was fun. It's just that you know,
too
with
many
my
injuries.
Yeah. Hey, catch! Whoa! Oh, crap. My TV's dead. Remember the first week when it first coming out and all those TV accidents? Like, oh my god.
When they added the wrist strap shortly after.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, moving on from gaming, Apple now has all major labels on board for a potential Apple Radio launch. They got Sony, Warner Music, and Universal. So the idea is that Apple is going to launch some sort of subscription radio service next week at the developers conference, where you'll be able to listen to radio based on some sort of Apple setup. So definitely very interesting. Basically would be a competitor at that point to something like Pandora, I think, with all of the iOS integration and stuff and Mac integration and Windows integration that people expect these days. You're not sold?
Nah, never cared for Apple, and probably have to stick with iTunes and all that crap. Because let's forget it. I don't care for Apple. And quite honestly, I found it easier just getting the music, putting it on my cell phone and plugging my cell phone in.
The thing about that, that's why I really like Pandora, because you don't really know what song you're going to get, and it's some stuff that you've never heard before, and you can discover new music with it.
I have not, I haven't had that happen to me yet.
So if that's
a song, I don't know.
So if this Apple Radio thing is similar to that, I might like that. Because I have an iPhone.
Yeah, that's what I think it is going to end up looking like. So, But the thing is, Pandora is only available in certain countries. So mm-hmm. Apple could do this in many more countries, and that would give them an advantage and potentially change the music market once again. Because remember, it was 10 years ago that the iTunes Store first came out. So definitely going to be very interesting to see. All right. Anything else on that?
Nope.
Nope.
Apple sucks.
All right. No, it does not. Facebook CEO denies knowledge of NSA's PRISM program. So there's all this stuff floating out around there about the NSA and this potential program called PRISM, which people say is to give backdoor access into servers of US-based social networks. So Google+, Twitter, Facebook, of course, and a number of others. I'm not sure where this initially came from, but it's definitely something that is a little bit odd, given that it just appeared out of nowhere. Like, I'm just wondering where this came from. So, what do you guys think? You guys think such a thing exists?
I had a thing for Verizon that was already out and about. I wouldn't put it past it. I'm not happy with it.
Okay. See, the thing is that all of these people have come out and said against it. So the question is, what is really up with PRISM then, if that's not the case? Because I find it hard to believe that all these CEOs could be lying. Mark Zuckerberg said, "I want to respond personally to the outrageous reports about PRISM. Facebook is not and has never been a part of any program to give the U.S. or any other government direct access to our servers. We have never received a blanket request or court order from any government agency asking for information or metadata in bulk, like the one Verizon reportedly received. And if we did, we would fight it aggressively." So it's a little bit concerning about where all this came from. It came out of nowhere. And now there's a question of what is PRISM if all these people are saying they have nothing to do with it. So definitely going to be interesting to see where this one goes. But given the current administration in the U.S., some of their other tactics they've been using, it wouldn't surprise me if they were to push something like this.
I got nothing
to say on this.
Yeah.
No.
Same.
Okay.
I got nothing.
All right. I'm just gonna say that if there's anybody out there reading what RSBNB puts on Twitter, that's perfectly fine. Or if they want to read my email that's on Google, that's perfectly fine. I'm not doing anything illegal, so if you want to read it in the name of national security, go for it.
In theory, you're not even supposed to read it unless you are a threat, because in theory you're supposed to only be able to collect aggregated data. There's nothing to identify you. But the problem issue with this is how do I put it? Let's try to figure out. I'm not happy with what Obama is doing. This is completely BS. Everything
I
else
told you so.
Become a, yes, well, Shane, you do know that whatchamacallit, Romney isn't gonna make any difference. Anyway, his program was already enacted. I highly doubt he's going to get rid of it. And then we'll have this little argument again, just the other way around. You know it's true. But the whole thing, I highly doubt someone's going to sit down and read over 10 trillion pages of, "Oh my God, take a look at these shoes."
Well, that's why you get a computer algorithm to do it.
And also it would just disappear right off of it, but there's so much. I mean, if you kind of want to think about it that way, is if this system was in effect and was working, why didn't we catch the two Boston bombers?
There you go.
They should have gotten them already. Like, I mean, they posted stuff, you know, crazy things on online and whatnot somewhere. And you know, why didn't that pop up somewhere on their algorithm and, you know, popped out and do all that kind of stuff? That didn't happen. And
there you go. So you really got to question the whole existence of it at that point.
And, you know, one other thing is that there's so much more better money to be spent in all this junk anyway. Quite honestly, if they really wanted... I don't see someone really sitting down going through like 10 trillion web pages of how great my shoes look. Check out this Mia, or my boyfriend dumped me. I feel like a total dick.
All right. So we've made our opinions clear on this, but just for anyone out there who hasn't been made aware of it, you now are. So that's it for tech news this week. Moving on to the skill of the month. It is mining. Mining, mining, mining. We have currently a div in first place who has gained 2.5 million experience. He has pretty much run away with this entire thing, making everybody else's progress look relatively flat. In second place, we got Flash with 559,000 experience gain. And third place, Barracuda X with 421,000 gained.
That is a lot of mining experience.
Yeah, that is a huge, huge spread. And congrats to Adiv for smashing the competition right out of the gate. Be interesting to see if anyone manages to catch up to him at this point, because he's been maintaining a relatively linear progression of somewhere between 400 and 500,000 experience per day. So, good job there. All right.
Okay.
Achievements of the week. Two of them this week, both from the same person. And they are?
That.
Maromska got 99 cooking on the 6th, and also 99 woodcutting, also on the 6th.
Woo!
Good job. Good job.
299 in a week from the same person is pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. And also, for anyone who was around back in 06, 7 years, Falador Massacre after construction came out.
Yeah, I noticed that this week. It was a... I don't want to call it anniversary, but, you know.
A date which will live in infamy.
There you go. That works.
Yeah, you know, because I don't think we've had any more big oopsies like that happen since then.
I think the Corporeal Beast glitch was pretty...
But there was the Ring of Wealth thing, but it wasn't... You just made people richer. And
that was hilarious.
Nothing in regards to player killing, though.
Yeah.
True.
Corporeal Beast glitch, that was hilarious, though. I'm loved with that.
All right. So, Zant, I believe you do have a pick for us.
I do. This is a fun little website that my sister actually showed me. It's called Pokemon Fusion.
Oh, and this one.
Yes, it is a website, and it lets you take two Pokemon, morph them together, and see what it looks like. And you can choose which one you want to be the head and which one to be the body. And some of the combinations you get are really funny. I think my favorite one is Weepin' Bell as the head and Charizard as the body.
Weepin' Zard.
Yeah. And you can hit the randomize button and just scroll through some.
What's the link?
Find some funny ones. Oh, I will.
Pidgeotto and Ponyta. So this looks like only the old ones, or?
Yeah, it's only the first 150.
Oh, okay, that's good. These are the ones I know.
151.
Tangela and
151.
Metapod. Magikarp and Magikarp. That's interesting. They both came up at the same time. Mr. Mime and Slowpoke.
Mr. Poke.
A lot of ones with Zubat as the head. It looks really funny.
Kingler and Hitmonchan.
I think Hitmonchan, I saw... They fixed this, but I saw this on Reddit, where if you did Kingler and Hitmonchan, its name would be Hitmer.
Yes, yes. I wasn't going to say that, but you know, I figured. But you brought it up.
Which ones again?
Kingler and Hitmonchan, but they changed it so it wouldn't do that. It was about 2 weeks ago that it did that. I've got a picture of it somewhere.
Don't if you could show that to me after, that would be that would be funny to see.
I will.
Actually, what was the other?
Where is?
It's in the order of the number.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's now King Chan.
Try reversing it.
King Chan.
Hitmonler.
Yeah.
Hitmonler, huh. Yes, and what was the other thing? Yeah, that's pretty much... That's, you know, have some fun. How many Pokemon are there now?
I actually still play Pokemon, even the new ones. There's about 648.
Oh, did you actually see other one where they made a comparison of Alakazam, how, you know, for what, 5 generations he's been holding 2 spoons? Mm-hmm. And then there's a picture of the new ice cream Pokemon.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and he has the spoons on. He's like, hilarious. Oh crap.
We have to dig that up for Shane somehow.
All right. Well, if we ever need a focus on Pokemon, we will come to you for that.
Generation 6 coming out soon, so there's going to be even more.
Oh, my dear. I lost track after 151.
You just got to play one of the games.
I can't track with
start
two.
Getting it. That's what I do.
Nah. It got to a point, like, you know, 250, 251 was cool. After that, I was like, after Silver, I stopped.
That's
when I stopped, too.
I just think the Generation 6 game looks really nice. It's on 3DS, and it's full 3D.
Oh, okay.
Gonna get it, hopefully.
How's your eyes after watching that for so long?
I actually just got a 3DS today, so I don't have much experience with it.
Oh, okay.
It hurts my eyes after when it first came out. I was watching it in Best Buy, and I was playing a little bit. After a while, my eyes were strained. I was like, "Oh, this hurts."
I was playing Star Fox on it. They remade the N64 one for it. It's a really nice graphics, and I did it with a 3D in it.
Do a barrel roll.
Yeah, it didn't hurt too bad, but, I mean, you kind of feel it. I feel like I'll get used to it, though.
You should not get used to it.
So, I hate to break up this little discussion on Pokemon and whatnot, but I do have to remind everyone that we do have a survey out there for spring 2013. So if you want to tell us a bit about what you think of the show, your combat level, and how long you've been playing RS, that would be good. As usual, link will be in the show notes, update.rsbnb.com. We look forward to reading the results. All right. Also, June is RSBNB Update birthday month. So, as a result, next week, we are going to be hosting fingers crossed, live question segment. We'll get a couple of people around from staff, and you'll be able to ask us questions live through the Mumble server some way, where they can be about anything, RS, RSBNB, us. So think of it as a Q&A session with the staff of RSBNB.
And keep it PG.
Yes, please, as always.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, what have we been up to? Zent, you can go first.
Well, today I graduated from high school, so that's pretty awesome.
Yay!
And tomorrow, actually, in about 5 hours, I'm going to be waking up and getting on an airplane to go to a nice little island called Turks and Caicos for a week-long vacation.
Hamas?
Oh, okay. Yeah, where is that?
It's kind of on the border of the Caribbean.
Okay.
Hey, I was right with the Bahamas.
Close enough.
I was in that geographical area.
Other than that, like I said before, I bought a 3DS today. So, it's interesting.
So you'll be taking that with you, probably?
Yeah. I'll be entertained on that flight.
How long a flight?
It's about 3 hours.
Oh, that's not that long.
Yeah, we have one transfer, though.
Ah, okay.
But the distance we have to travel East for the Coast first boy. One, it's a really short distance, so we get one of those tiny airplanes that's really kind of rickety. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's perfectly safe.
As long as you're not, a fat American, you're fine.
I'm saying they're annoying. They make a lot of noise. The airplane, the small ones.
Anything in RS that you want to share with us?
I haven't been on much lately, but yeah, I checked out the Slayer dungeon, and I'm trying to get back into doing some Slayer. I want to get 99, then I'm going to start doing some dungeoneering, get that 120.
All right. How about you?
It's been a dungeoneering evening. Since school's out, I've just been working full-time for now. So I'm there every single day till they're sick of me. And, besides working, I did lots of dungeoneering. I need to do 3 more floors to get 103. Did a little bit of thieving, and that's about it. I just need to get my thieving up. I've just been so lazy to do it.
We'll have to do some dungeoneering sometime.
Meh. I'm using dungeoneering as a reason to train. Huh? What, Shane?
Oh, I was going to say, what's your dungeoneering level?
I'm 102.
Oh, okay.
I'm really using dungeoneering as an excuse to train range a little bit. So I've been put on my range setup when I'm down there. If I really, really, really wanted to do dungeoneering properly, I'll go full melee.
Yeah.
Dungeoneering is a pretty good way to train combat.
Okay.
All right. As for me, just been working on my prayer this week, 98. I'm about 150,000 XP away from level 99. So I'm going to finish prayer off. Then I'm going to finish Constitution off, which is also level 98. And then after that, 90 crafting, and then that'll be it for what I want to do now on my character. And we'll see what happens with RS3 and new skills. Because I kind of want to tie things off, you know? I want to be ready for RS3, and I want to be able to focus on the new skill exclusively when it comes out. Because Dungeoneering, I didn't like that skill when it came out, so I didn't do that. I wasn't able to focus on Hunter exclusively when it came out because I was working on other things. Wasn't able to focus on Construction when that came out because, you know, funds and whatnot. So the last skill I was really able to focus on exclusively when it came out was Farming. So I want to do that again when the new skill comes out. So the goal is to have 90 Crafting and 99 Constitution done by the time Divination and RS3 comes out. But that's it. So I think we're done for this week. So, Zant, thank you for coming on and telling us about combat and the Order of Ascension and everything else. And sorry to all the listeners out there for making this a longer show than normal. But we really did want to go in depth with this combat update because it is bringing in level 90 equipment, which is something that doesn't happen all too often. So...
Thanks for having me.
That being said, thank you
for
coming.
It's been a really fun time.
And you can read his articles on Informer. You're writing one, I think, this month on the rebalanced evolution of combat, an update to your application article, which I look forward to reading.
Yeah, it's going to be covering how they made your skills have more of an effect on your damage output when you have a higher skill level than the weapon requires.
Good. So we look forward to reading it, and that's at informer.rspmb.com. So with that being said, we'll see you next week, everyone. Have a good weekend, and go train those Slayer levels up.
Bye.